Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, the show that delights Doc Walker with analysis and disappoints him with our haircuts. Anthony, I don't know if the DOC's made it to his car yet. I don't know if the DOC's made it out of his building yet, but in case he listens later on the podcast, he comes in. And he was all excited because he thought you were growing your hair out. And I was like, nah, man. Like, Anthony went to the barber today. And he's like, oh, no, he said he's going dreads. He's doing the whole thing. And he's always on you about your hair for some reason or the other. And he was just, when I told him that you had gone and got a haircut, the like, real disappointment in his voice, in his demeanor, in his body language, it hurt. Like, I was like, wow, I think he's like really, really actually disappointed by this. And so I tell you this. And by the way, as he's walking out, Doc goes, that's why he must have that toboggan on. Because you had a hat on, a toboggan, a beanie. However, I said that, I told you that story, and you said, actually, well, it actually started because you were like, I need a haircut so bad. I was like, I thought you went today, but you scheduled the wrong time. And so Doc's hopes still live?
I mean, I guess they do live because I won't be getting a haircut until I hope next week. I don't even know because my barber usually is booked and I usually have to book very far in advance. And I don't cheat on my barber. So I have to wait till a slot opens up for me to go. So I guess his dream does live on. But yes, I scheduled the wrong time and I thought I had scheduled an earlier time and it was actually a later time. And I was just like, no,
it's a bad feeling. Bad feeling. I'm getting one tomorrow. Desperately needed because
a little bit incorrect.
I should have had one 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
This has been a nightmare. It actually looks all right. I'm having a good hair day today and it's like, it's not that bad. It's terrible. This is way too long. This is not good.
You think so?
It's just a lot of hair, bro.
No, it is a lot of hair.
It's a lot to deal with up here. Salad is... I can do fun stuff with it. I can do like the whole rock hair thing because it actually moves.
Is it heavy though?
No, it's pretty light.
Okay.
Although I'll say that and then I'll get my hair cut tomorrow and be like, dang. I actually wonder. I weighed in. What's today? Today's Tuesday. I weighed in this morning. Maybe I'll get a haircut and I'll weigh in on Thursday morning and see how different it is.
Okay.
Maybe it is heavy. Maybe that's why that number's not moving the way I want it to. I'm actually getting stronger, but it's really the hair. It's holding me back on the leanness. But I literally tagged my barber on Instagram the other day, and I was like, every time I walk out, they're like, would you like to make your next appointment? And I'm like, nah, I don't know exactly what my schedule is going to be. I'll make it in the app. Idiot. And then I go to get one and I need to wait 2 weeks because everyone's booked up.
See?
I have two people that are they're okay with me sharing them.
Okay.
Because it's the same company, just two different locations. And based off their schedules, they're like, nah, I love the other person. Like, they're cool people. They do a good job. And so I have two options because I also don't cheat on my barber. I only found the second one because the first one was on vacation and I needed a haircut. And so, but I've been going to this company for like 7 years. Bearded Goat, shout out. I'll give you the shout out. And so I always go to book and then there's nothing available. So I was like, when I come in on Wednesday, do not let me leave without setting a new appointment.
Oh, man.
When I tell you guys, I'll make the appointment in the app, You go, no, you won't, you dingus. Would you like one 4 weeks from now? And then I will go, yes. Yes, I would. That's the correct way to address me, Sir Dingus, the idiot who forgets to put his haircuts on his schedule ahead of time. That's me. Anyway, speaking of bad decisions that I made, finally, the rent has come due, Anthony. The hot sauces are here. They're sitting in the other room.
Yes, sir. I should have
had them to hold up. We got two hot sauces from Heatnest, the company that produces the hot sauces in accordance with the YouTube show Hot Ones. And we've defined the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment as about a 7 out of 10 on the Hot Ones scale, the one before Da Bomb, if you're a Hot Ones watcher. And so I went ahead and just went straight. Instead of trying to find a wing sauce in D.C. that fit that bill, I just ordered some straight from the company themselves. We have some wings set to be delivered to the studio sometime between 5 and 5:30. Actually, no, we're actually going. It's a shout out for local businesses in Navy Yard Day. We're actually ordered some pickup wings from the Big Stick. So we're going to go pick them up while we play the Take Command bit for you today. And we're gonna do that. We're going to sauce up the wings. And then what are we doing, 5:45, Anthony? Is when this is all going down?
Yes, sir.
5:45. Not only will we do competition Wednesday on a Tuesday because Anthony's gone tomorrow, it's actually going to turn into a mini episode of Hot Ones, because before I pick each game that I'm going to pick, I got to eat a wing. Sauced in either Ninja Napalm, or it's actually, I can't remember the other one. It's like a curried flavored hot sauce. But it's going to be hot. It's not going to be terrible, I hope. But rent has come due. So if you're driving home now and maybe you finish out the show on the podcast, typically tuning in live on YouTube to watch me sweat at 5:45 might be good entertainment. That's all I'm going to say. So that's coming up today. But it's a Tuesday, so it's a vibe check Tuesday, and we got a whole bunch of stuff to get to on this here radio show.
Still to come on the Hoffman Show.
It is a vibe check Tuesday, so we're going to take your calls starting now at 301-230-0980. The Commanders are into the divisional round for the first time since 2005. Can they get their first divisional round win since 1991? And how are you feeling as Jaden Daniels leads another cardiac Commander victory? 301-230-0980. Your calls until 5 o'clock. That's when Mitch Tischler joins us. You'll hear a Take Command Logan Paulson breakdown of the Commanders' run game coming up at 5:30. A pick six at 6 today because, well, it's the Commanders' Wednesday, and thus Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels spoke. You'll hear from them at 6. Our NFL tiers at 6:30. We're locked and loaded on a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980.
The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Can I also let you know that tomorrow, Vince Wilfork will be with us. Actually, chatted with the big fella this morning. Very cool initiative he's doing, or very fun initiative, I should say, with Tums and DraftKings. Corporate partnership, Anthony. You gotta love it. Tums and DraftKings. But reached out and they were like, hey, you want to talk to Vince Wilfork? I was like, hell yeah, I want to talk to Vince Wilfork. Great stuff from him that we're going to air on tomorrow's show, probably 4:30, maybe 5:30 tomorrow. So TBD on that. But stay tuned, as they say. And, you know, if you do wind up missing it live, then, well, we got a podcast. Just search The Hoffman Show wherever it is that you get yours. And the show is available anytime, anywhere on demand. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. We'll get to your calls expeditiously at 301-230-0980. But while we wait for the phone lines to fill up, Anthony, do you feel just being around the city the last couple days? Like, let's do a real-life non-radio call vibe check. I've seen more burgundy and gold in the city in the last, like, 3 weeks than I have in the last almost 10 years that I've lived here. And, like, certainly there have been times that it's popped up a little bit more, popped down. You know, after the sale, certainly people were like, ha-ha, there's that, let me dust off that hat that I haven't worn in a while or whatever. But I think when I go to other cities, especially when I'm there for football, it's around football weekend, so like 10 people tend to wear their gear a little bit more. But just walking in the couple blocks around my house or going running errands, being here, being there, it definitely feels like it is a more outwardly proud fan base than we have had in a long time, which makes sense because unlike most of the last 30 years, on and off the field, there's plenty to be proud of with how this team is playing right now.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot of fans coming out of the woodworks. And not to say, you know, they're bandwagon hopping, but I think to the point you just made where there's finally something to, you know, be proud of, you know, the results that are on the field kind of thing. And yeah, like everywhere I've gone, I've been seeing more and more Commander sweaters. I've been seeing hats. I've been seeing Jaden Daniel jersey. My dad is even, you know, pulling out his old Santana Moss jersey. Like, it's a lot going on, and it's a lot, you know, to be happy for, especially considering like we finally won a playoff game in nearly 20 years. So, I think the sky's the limit for this team. Like, we're young, we have new ownership, and I think, you know, we played the bite and roll things yesterday with
Magic
yeah. And Josh Harris, and they just talked about, you know, how they were able to, you know, come in, change a few things, allow the personnel that they, you know, put in place to handle everything on the field, and they just took their step back. So I think it's an indictment on, you know, the people that we've put in place and allowing them to actually do their job as opposed to, you know, elsewhere in like what our previous regime used to be.
I think in terms of just like publicly displaying your fandom, when you wear a shirt, when you wear a hat, when you wear whatever, it's kind of a conversation starter. It's like, oh yeah, you're a Commanders fan. You're this, you're that. You're an Eagles fan. Why are you wearing that in DC? Like, there's all kinds of conversations that can get started around sports just by simple, you know, what people are wearing. And I think over the last bunch of years, why would you want to start that conversation? It's not that you didn't root for your team and follow along and follow your favorite reporters on social media, follow your players on social media, listen to shows like this that you didn't watch on Sundays. Maybe you wore your gear on Sundays because it was game day. But by the time Monday rolled around, you sure didn't want to have that conversation because of what happened on Sunday. And I think that's the difference now, is like, it's Tuesday. Let me find my burgundy and gold because I want to talk about the Commanders all the time, every single day. And I think that's when fandom can be at its best, when it's just, it's fun, it's joyous, it's a shared experience. Like, that's what makes sports great. It brings people together. And I think the vibe in the city around this team is excellent. And I'm just really excited to see it continue to go. And what I'm hopeful, too, is that if this ride does come to an end without a Lombardi trophy, which the overwhelming odds would tell you that that's going to be the case if we're being realistic, maybe it happens this weekend. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it happens next weekend. Maybe it happens with a crushing Super Bowl loss. But ultimately, people will, I think, have enough good memories stacked to look back fondly at the 2024 season and be really proud of it. And by the way, just in case anyone missed Real Things yesterday and hasn't seen this going around social media, here is that bite that Anthony talked about with Magic Johnson and Josh Harris outside the locker room in Tampa Sunday night.
This man right here. No, this is serious. You said, what does it take? New vision, new owner with a strategy, picking the right people. First, our coach, Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, and then we all step out the way and let them do their job.
Talent, culture, and people.
There it is.
Talent, culture, and people.
So that's it. Don't make this about us. It's about those guys.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thank you. Did you envision it happening this fast, 2 years?
Quarterback.
How could you?
Got to get a quarterback.
We'll see you guys in Detroit. It's going to be cool.
Make it about those guys.
And then I love the thing that you pointed out yesterday and that I was listening for today. Josh Harris at the very end going, it's going to be cold. Yeah. But I love Josh in the background. Like, Magic saying some pretty like important stuff there, obviously. But I listened to, I've mentioned this a couple times because we've talked about the various job openings around the NFL and some of the differences and why a guy like Cliff might want to stay here versus go somewhere else. And listening to someone like Shad Khan and the Jags owner give his press conference and being asked about like winning and these different things and what's it going to take. And he's just like, you just got to win. And like, there's no plan. There's no execution. There's nothing to execute. It's just like vibes, bro. It's saying like, we're going to win. We're going to figure it out. We have a good roster. We want to, and like all those things matter. But Josh Harris literally has a 3-point plan. Talent, culture, people. That simple. That organized. And if he has that, that means when he's hiring, he knows what to look for. Okay, talent, culture, people. Do we have people with the right talent? Are those people going to be a part of our culture? And like, do we invest in them as people so that we maximize them? So that we don't have someone who is talented that because of the culture and because we don't look at them as a whole person and we don't figure out how to maximize them, that we're only getting 50% of what they can give us from a talent standpoint. And I think that really explains a lot of his success in across sports. I mean, all his teams are good. Do you think that's a coincidence? I know the Sixers have been up and down, and maybe they haven't reached the height that Sixers fans would want. And the Devils haven't won a Stanley Cup yet. But like, the Devils, when he took them over, were bad. And I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty good and have been for the last couple of years. They've been on the up and up. Let's see. ESPN.com/NHL/standings. Where are the New Jersey Devils this year? They are right behind the Washington Capitals for second in the Metropolitan Division. They're 5 points off Washington. They're in second. So they're having a good year. That's good enough, by the way, for second in the Eastern Conference, on sitting on 56 points, tied with Toronto. So they're pretty good. The Sixers, they've had some issues with some injuries and some other things, but like, they're that Kawhi Leonard shot away from an NBA Finals appearance, probably. They've done a lot of right stuff, and it hasn't worked out for whatever reason in the playoffs, and they've had some, I think, unexpected mistakes as well. You know, the whole Brian Colangelo thing, I don't know that you could have seen that this dude had like fake Twitter accounts and everything coming, and I also kind of think that the NBA stepped in there and probably stepped on their plan of like, hey, you have to stop being this terrible, even though the plan was working and kind of did work in a lot of ways, because even though they missed on a bunch of stuff, they got Joel Embiid and have been a 50-win team year over year, year over year. And we know how hard 50 wins is to get in the NBA, because the Wizards have it. Okay, people know that stat. 1979. Okay, but with the Commanders, same thing. Comes in and instantly you see, obviously not instantly, because last year the seeds had already been planted. The crop was going to grow, and the crop was craptastic with what Ron Rivera had planted before Josh Harris got there. But you start to see some of the things that Harris can control off the field change immediately. Some of the stuff around the stadium and improvements, and they're focused on, you know, a couple of things here, a couple of things there. And you see incremental moves. They have an entire offseason and the whole experience changes. And obviously the on-the-field product becomes much better when he gets to hire his people. Not a coincidence. Ownership matters, and Josh Harris is good at it. And it's because he can quickly summarize, quickly identify exactly what it is that he is looking for. He has a clear vision. That vision is one that is well put together, well thought out, and works. And now it's just a matter of executing. And it doesn't guarantee anything, because there is nothing guaranteed in sports. There's an element of luck to this. And they have gotten very lucky in that their terrible year was in a year that landed them with the number two pick in one of the most loaded quarterback drafts in recent memory. Had they been just a year later, then who knows? Because they could be the number two pick this year in a zero potentially quarterback draft, and that's not a good place to be. So I'll take it. They'll take it. We'll take it. This weekend, Detroit, 8 o'clock is the kickoff. We have our pregame starting as early as 3 p.m. here on the Team 980. But if you think about it, Anthony, we've kind of already started. I mean, we're just looking forward to this game all week.
Hey, look, we ready, man.
Starting at 6 a.m. with the Junkies every morning.
Yes, sir.
Sheehan at 10, Russell at 1. We're starting at 4, and we're just rolling on through this playoff game Saturday night in Detroit. When we get back, it's a Vibe Check Tuesday. We're taking your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 301-230-0980 is our phone number on a Vibe Check Tuesday. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're taking your calls, seeing how you're feeling off of the Commanders' first divisional round victory. Or sorry, first wild card round victory, first playoff win since 2005. Pop quiz, Anthony Haney, do you know your history? When was the last time the Washington Commanders won in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs?
1991.
Okay. How many times have they lost since then?
In the divisional round?
Yes. Ah, see, there's a follow-up. You had your one stat ready.
We haven't been there.
That's incorrect.
Oh, no. Actually, no. 2005.
No, it's incorrect. 3. They lost in 1999 in the divisional round. I believe the other one was 1995. So they've made it this far multiple times, but they have not broken through since the last time they won the Super Bowl at the end of the 91 season, early January 1992.
You stumped me, Craig.
It helps when you look it up before the show, Anthony. That's why I'm the most prepared man in radio. That's 1,000% not true, but I am pretty prepared. You guys can quiz me all you want on the phones now. 301, I'm just going to get trivia questions. Did you know the last time that Sonny and... I love that, you know, something that sounds so old school. Just Sonny and Sam. And it's like, actually, that was this franchise. That was Washington. So old Sonny and Sam. 301-230-0980. They've won since Sonny and Sam. Everyone knows that because there's been 3 Lombardi trophies since then. 301-230-0980 is the phone number on a Vibe Check Tuesday. Let's get things started with DC. DC, thanks for calling on a Vibe Check Tuesday. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Great day, Hoffman. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling fantastic.
That's good. I'm vibing high as well, man. I really appreciate you touching on, you know, what Magic said and Josh Harris. But a lot of people forget about Bob Myers being hired first after he took a year to assess the league, find out what staffing and what he wanted his organization to be like. He hired Bob Myers first. He was selfless in doing that and wanting to build an organization the right way. And a lot of people don't know Bob Myers came from the Golden State Warriors, so I'm pretty sure those GMs and managers and owners mingled while they were out in California together. Then we hired Adam Peters, then we hired DQ, and so forth and so on, and we went and got the quarterback. So, you know, our organization was built from the foundation up the right way, and that's creating the vibe that we're feeling now, man. And I appreciate you speaking into existence of us winning the division. Championship game.
All right, man. Appreciate the call. And I love the Bob Myers shout, like too, it. Because I think that Bob, like, look, on the list of people that are important for the Commander's success, is Bob Myers particularly high? In a way, probably not. But Bob Myers knew Adam Peters very, very well. They were obviously colleagues. They were contemporaries, if you will, out in the Bay Area, where Bob was building the four-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors, and Adam Peters was the San Francisco 49ers assistant general manager. They knew each other very well. They had talked sports before, talked ball before, if you will. They talked about team building. Like, they knew each other. That didn't guarantee that Adam Peters was going to get the job, but there was a certain familiarity and comfort there that surely helped Adam feel good about Josh Harris. Adam Peters has turned down plenty of other opportunities. And so if you say that Adam Peters is the most important person, well, Bob Myers played a big role, I think, one, in the interview process of saying to Josh, hey, this is the kind of leader that you want if you want to build a championship organization. These are the things that we focused on. These are the things that we wanted to have as standards that go across sports, that are not just football or not just basketball. Like, it's not like Bob Myers is like, hey, how do we shoot threes in football? That's not a strategic, you know, schematic type of whatever that Bob Myers is bringing to the table. I'm sure Bob Myers, as a football fan, has thoughts on football, but he's not a football expert in the way that he is obviously a basketball expert. But there are things that cross sports that maybe are differing levels of important, because I do think an NBA locker room with 12 to, well, God, now it's like 17 guys, is very different than an NFL locker room with 53 plus the practice squad and whatever else. You're talking about like 65 guys plus all the coaches and staff and everybody that's around the building. It's a very, very different dynamic, but they're both, you know, once you add in the staff of the NBA, shoot, this feels like these teams have like 20 assistant coaches now, plus their medical staff, plus everything else. There's like 50 people in a traveling party. But you have these dynamics that are really important, and where your leadership comes from, the importance of the right veterans. Like, I do think that, you know, the more I think about it, there are some Bob Myers imprints on this roster, Bob Myers fingerprints on this roster. Of course, finding your Steph Curry is a lot harder said than done. And they probably did that with Jaden Daniels. Sick. But Bob also was a guy that brought in a lot and always had around like the right vets. And eventually guys like Steph and Draymond became those vets. And you could argue that at times Draymond was the right vet and at times Draymond was the wrong vet. And that was some of their problems, a la the Jordan Poole stuff that went down in such a horrible way. But having Andre Iguodala, Leandro Barbosa, there's been other guys, Jarrett Jack back in the day. Like they had guys at the start of their dynasty that were essential. And if you ask Steph Curry about them, you ask Klay Thompson, you ask Bob, you ask Steve Kerr, they will tell you those guys were so valuable. David Lee, to what they did in Golden State. Some of them were around long enough to get rings. And I realize that, you know, their dynasty in some level starts in 2015 when Kerr gets there. But even some of the stuff they did under Mark Jackson, like that took, serious gumption for Myers to move on from a coach who was well-liked and well-liked by a star player. And some of the guys that had been there were really, really important to the habits that were formed. And then Kerr took it to a whole new level, and Steph obviously grew into being Steph and the whole deal. But the more I think about it, you know, Bob Myers, as we think of all the people that are responsible for their success this year, Bob Myers is a good shout, because while day in, day out, his importance is probably not very high, the most important people that are in place are there because he was one of the first, if not the literal first, chronological move that Josh Harris made last off season. I remember waiting on the text and waiting on the tweets and all that kind of stuff for Rivera to get fired and getting the Bob Myers one first and being like, whoa. And Rick Spielman too. Shout out to Rick Spielman. But I think Myers clearly on the long term was someone who they were more keen on keeping around, and I'm sure he's been a good sounding board for Adam and for Josh and for others around that organization this year. But to have the, as I actually was talking about this to preview tomorrow's conversation, I was talking about this with Vince Wilfork a little bit earlier today. Again, you'll hear that interview tomorrow here on the Team 980. But I don't know how closely, I actually know that like he hasn't followed the Commanders day in, day out. He said he's watched quite a bit of them and loves the story and has been following along. But like he used the term brotherhood. He used the exact term when he was talking about his old Patriot teams and, you know, how they played for each other. And he talked about how the veterans that were there when he got there were guys that he had grown up watching. Like he had so much reverence for Willie McGinnis and so much reverence for Teddy Bruschi. Guys that had been in the league in that first Patriots dynastic run that were still in the primes of their careers in the case of most of them, but could bring a young guy like Wilfork along to be what he was pretty instantaneously. And I look at a team like the Packers, who has the youngest roster in the league when weighted for number of snaps. One, I think they're the youngest roster in the league anyway, just pure average age, but certainly snap weighted, where they just don't have a lot of experience playing anywhere. So take the number of snaps, multiply that by the age, and do the whole average, and Packers, youngest team in the league. And they're very good. But they do a lot of dumb stuff. Like, I got friends who are Packers fans, and they would lament, we are the dumbest team in the league. We cannot stop committing stupid penalties. We cannot, you know, get out of our own way. Emotionally, we'll lose it in big moments. Think of the personal foul penalty late in that Eagles game that kind of sealed. I mean, at that point, the game was probably over, but that was the end of the end. Erased all chances. That's kind of who the Packers have been all year. And Washington has avoided that because they brought in Wagner. They brought in Ertz. There's a maturity to this team. They brought in guys even like Dorrance Armstrong, who was with Dan and Dante Fowler, and those guys know what those guys are about. They know what the coaches are about. And so that, to me, is a bit of a Bob Myers imprint on this team, and it certainly flows mostly through Adam Peters, who believes many of the same things. It's not like Bob told him, like, hey, man, make sure you do this, and Adam was like, wow, I never thought of that before. They did a lot of the same stuff in San Francisco
One of the guys they brought to San Francisco to implement Kyle Shanahan's standard and help teach the other guys the offense and the way to go about their businesses as professionals is a guy named Logan Paulson. You might have heard of him. And if not, you'll hear from him at 5:30 and realize that he's really smart because I host a show with him a couple times a week. It's called Take Command. We're going to play a little bit for you coming up at 5:30. But like it reaffirms that those things are the right things, I guess is the simplest way to put it. So that's a great shout from DC on the phones at 301-230-0980. More of your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday next. 301-230-0980. How you feeling about this Commanders victory and on to the divisional round? It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. This is a Vibe Check Tuesday where we typically take calls on how Commanders fans are feeling. And you would think we'd have full phone lines of people that are really happy, Anthony. How many people do we have on the phones right now, Anthony?
Two minus two.
Zero. It's a zero. Why do people like to call radio stations more when they're mad and angry and want to complain about their coach? And then they complain that the media is too negative and it's really just them yelling at themselves. How about that for a hot take? Is that correct? Why don't you guys talk about more of the good stuff when they do? All you do is criticize. It's like, yeah, criticism's easier. They need to fix this, this, and this. Hey, you did a good job of this. Great job. Conflict creates stories. They're too good. There's no conflict. We're in a weird spot right now where everybody feels good. As opposed to like when you're the Chiefs, the Chiefs have been good for too long. Remember when Pat Mahomes was like the upstart? Oh, is he going to beat Brady? Is he not only going to beat Brady now, but is he going to be the guy that dethrones him in the GOAT long term? And everyone's all rooting for him because he's doing all these crazy throws. He's throwing balls behind his back. He's got no looks. He's sidearming. He's running out. And now it's like the Chiefs are boring. They win too much. The Chiefs suck. I hate them. Of course, some people just want an excuse to yell about other things. Adjacent to the Chiefs, but we're not going to address them right now. But right now, the Commanders are just in this happy mode where, like, what are you going to do? Call and say how happy you are? Yeah, that sounds great. Let's have a happy fest. Let's have joy. We don't do this so that we can sit in our homes or our cars or whatever alone. No, we do it so that we can share in the joy of victory. That's what coming together is about. Let's go. Or if you have fears moving forward about the team, I'm not going to shout you down. I might say like I don't agree with you, but I'll explain why. I can perhaps alleviate your fears. So let's give this phone thing a try. Y'all do this. Didn't do this in the middle of the regular season when things were a little sketch. Now we got more people that want to call. See, Anthony, sometimes you just got to beg. Sometimes you got to let the guard down. You just got to beg. And then people like Kevin in Virginia call. Kevin, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. All positives, a great season. I might be a little, it's a question. It doesn't mean to be negative, but I'm a little worried about our man Lattimore.
Sure.
Was he hurt? On set, was he still hurting? Because I'm surprised Tampa Bay didn't keep going back to Evans, because Evans seemed to have his number. And I'm a little concerned about the Lions. I think their best receiver is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Will he be covering that receiver, or how are they going to deploy him? The Lions have a lot of weapons. They've got that tight end that's the best in the league, Laporta. They've got the two running backs.
Yep.
And they've got this St. Brown guy. And I think they need Lattimore to be able to cover him one-on-one. And I'm afraid either he's hurt or something's going on there. I just thought I'd ask your thoughts on that.
No, Kevin, it's a great question. And I definitely went back and watched all of that stuff on tape. And I would say this about Lattimore. To me, he didn't look hurt. He looked rusty. And what I mean by that is, like, when he would turn and run, it wasn't like, I'm like, oh, he's gimpy. but his timing and his technique was all just a little off. And sometimes, like, Liam Cohn is one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. The problem is, so is Ben Johnson. I know people here have feelings about Ben Johnson because of the head coach search last year, but, like, as an OC, dealing with him in the role that he has this weekend, that dude's a nightmare. He is so good at creating wide open guys. And so was Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator in Tampa. Like, they did a good job of putting Evans, like, we'll put him in the slot, create some traffic, and make it so you got to run through some guys. And Baker lets the ball go quickly as soon as he sees that he's cleared the right guy. And, like, they got him a couple times on some tough covers. There's a couple other times where, yeah, like, Lattimore gets got. And sometimes he, like, goes for a punch, or, like, he has to turn his hips. And it's just, it's all happening a step slower than it should. And to me, that says a guy that's rusty, and hopefully he can be better this week. But St. Brown, Williams, Gibbs, Montgomery, Laporta, like, they just got an endless swath of weapons. I do think the one positive against Detroit compared to Tampa, now overall Detroit's a way better offense, and like Tampa's a really good offense. Detroit's the best offense in the league, but at least you don't have to worry about quarterback scramble, and that was something that did hurt Washington against Tampa with Baker. All right, let's go to Dave. Dave, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, it's always great to talk to you. I always appreciate your take on stuff. You're always very level-headed and educated with everything you do. So
thank you, Dave.
I just wanted to say that first. Yeah. I'm actually Zins World in the chat right now on YouTube, so anybody who wants to come in the chat. But I think everything you just said has really hit the head. I mean, you know, that with the weapons that the Detroit offense has, they're there, and we know it. But the fact that we don't have a scrambling quarterback to deal with will help a lot. I do think Lattimore is still a little bit, like, not like he's not injured, but you know when you've got that nagging thing, and like right. You said that it was like rusty, you know, because you see him, you know, in the beginning of the game, if you see our defense, we started with really good intensity, we held them to a field goal, then our offense came out, marched up the field, and we had so much confidence that we went for it in that fourth down. It wasn't until the end of the second quarter, after our huge drive where we were dominating and we were scaring Tampa, that's the first time Tampa noticed when we were in the end zone and Lattimore had the Evans the interference, and then they got the touchdown. Like, that's, I think, the first time Tampa was like, okay, we can attack Lattimore. But the great thing about Witt was, if you see what they did in that second half, was they were able to mask a lot of Lattimore and Evans matchups, where it looks like Lattimore is lined up, but then they would shift off and have another defender pick him up. I think we're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff against Detroit, because we're not going to be able to go man-to-man with them a lot. Maybe certain situations, but we're going to do a lot of zoning with their offense. I think our matchup that we're going to dominate on, if we have it, not dominate, but we really have our chance to win, is our offense being so much better than their defense, especially the fact that so many people got on, I'm sorry to keep getting long-winded, but so many people got on B-Rob this game, like, oh, his stats. Like, well, if you look at what they did against Tampa, they weren't going to do a lot of up-the-middle running when you're playing against Tampa.
Right. Tampa's run defense is great. And, Dave, your point, too, you know, you talk about them not having the opportunities, like, the best defense for Washington against Tampa is going to be the same one against Detroit. Don't let them have the ball.
Yeah.
And they dominated time of possession. And, Dave, I got to let you run because we're up against the clock here. But thanks for calling.
Hey,
and
no
thanks
problem.
For leaving some fun comments in the chat as well on YouTube. And, you know, it's the type of thing where if you just don't give the other team opportunities, they can't do anything. Like, Baker Mayfield only threw the ball 19 times. 7 of those went to Mike Evans, and he had a big day, and that doesn't include the targets that are PIs. So I had someone leave a YouTube comment, speaking of, and we'll address this some of these comments more on Thursday and never read the comments at 5:30. But it's like, oh, well, he held him under 100 yards. It really wasn't that bad. I'm like, did you count the PI yardage? Because, well, yes, it doesn't count in the statistics. It sure as hell counts in the game. The ball went from the 22-yard line to the 1 because you got called for a PI in the end zone or whatever it was. I think actually that was the Diami one, but on the other end. But like, that counted for Washington against Tampa, and the same thing is true on the other side. Like, those first downs count, even if they're not statistically accounted for when you read off the normal stats. So I think that's something to remember, too, is, you know, the physicality. Can you do it without committing penalties? But also, can you find other ways to play? Can you be clean in zone coverage and pass things off and have good communication? And I do think not having to worry about a scrambling quarterback does help you do some of that stuff. But, like, Detroit's not had a scrambling quarterback all year, and they averaged almost 33 points a game. They're gross offensively. You have to limit the number of possessions, and Washington has shown time and time again this season that they can do that. All right. Appreciate everyone who called in that's now waiting on hold. The problem is we needed you to call half an hour ago because now we're out of time, and Mitch Tischler is going to be joining us next. But we might have some time to get some back to some calls at 5:15 if y'all want to hang out or if you want to call back. But we'll get to that then. But Mitch joins us next on The Hoffman Show.